ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 12. O kastam maho nyayam yadhiyam dharmanandana Jivatam nahata krishtam vipradharma chutasaya. Bhishmadeva said, Oh, what terrible suffering and what terrible injustices you good souls suffer for being the sons of religion personified. You did not deserve to remain alive under those tribulations, yet you were protected by the Brahmins, God, and religion. Purport, Marja Yudhisthira was disturbed due to the great massacre in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Bhishmadeva could understand this, and therefore he both spoke of the terrible sufferings of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was put into difficulty by injustice only. The battle of Kurukshetra was fought just to counteract this injustice. Therefore, he should not regret the great massacre. He wanted to point practically that they were always protected by the brahmanas, the Lord, and religious principles. As long as they were protected by these three important items, there was no cause for disappointment. Thus, Bhishmadeva encouraged Maharaj Yudhisthira to dissipate his despondency. As long as a person is fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, guided by the bona fide Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and strictly following religious principles, one has no cause for despondency. However trying circumstances of life, Bhishmadeva, as one of the authorities in the line, wanted to impress this point upon the Pandavas. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Pancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New York, from the Bhakti Center. We're in a very wonderful part of the Bhagavatam. As I mentioned many times before, we're following the story of Maharaj Prickett, which begins with his birth, which is glorious because Krishna appeared in his womb. And we're studying about Maharaj Prickett for many, many reasons. One reason is he was the third person in line as a student of the Bhagavatam. So the real thing is the Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam is about Krishna. So by telling about Maharaj Prickett, who was to receive the Bhagavatam, which is the book about Krishna, and his life is very intertwined with Krishna. We're introduced to Krishna at the end of the seventh chapter, at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. And therefore, the war is finished and he's leaving, and we're kind of getting a view of the relationship that people have with Krishna. This is such a fundamental point in Krishna consciousness, that the goal is love of Godhead. And love means in relationship. And why should not God have intimate relationships? And therefore, the Bhagavatam is describing very intimate relationships, personal relationships with Krishna. So, as we're following Krishna, we're following his associates. So, one of the persons in separation is Yudhisthira. And Krishna, out of love for Yudhisthira, and of love for Bhishma Dev, and this is the nature of God, that it's not just we love God, God loves us. And that love of God for us is one of the main inspirations for our bhakti, for our own devotion within our hearts. So here we are seeing how he loves Yudhisthira, but he also loves Bhishma Dev. And when you love someone, you want to satisfy their desires and you also want to glorify them. This is two factors of love. You want to please someone and you want to glorify what? And that's the main expression. If that love is in your heart, you want to glorify God. You want to glorify someone. So the way Krishna glorifies someone is he makes arrangements for their glorification. And Bhishma Dev is on the Battle of Kurukshetra, and all the great sages of the world, we actually just read that in a previous verse, that all the great sages of the world were coming to see Bhishma Dev, and Krishna wanted to glorify Bhishma Dev as a Mahajan, Mahajana Yena Katatha. There are great authorities in bhakti and devotion, and one of those great authorities is Bhishma Dev. And Krishna wanted to glorify him by having Yudhisthira ask his heartfelt questions to him. And of course, Yudhisthira's question is a fundamental question that people have when they are developing faith in God, and it's usually one of the doubts. Is why bad things happen to good people, why there is evil in the world. So it's actually a fundamental question to understand before we can really understand God fully. It's usually a doubt. And doubts close the mind. And faith is the soul. Faith is an experience of the soul. But for the soul to be touched, the God who appears in various manifestations as the saintly people, as the holy scriptures, as the holy places, as the deity, as the holy name. One has to be receptive to it. And somehow or other, if one's not receptive to it, the experience of God doesn't happen, even in the proximity of God. That's why Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Even though there were different people who were the envious, the blasphemers, the lowest of the student community, the logicians, the materialists, the impersonalists. Their worldview, their conceptions, their heart closed them to the experience of God. So Lord Chaitanya took sannyas as a trick, because in that culture, people will respect sannyas, and respect opens the heart to the heart of someone else. So Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Beautiful purport by Prabhupada, amazing, we were reading this morning, about how fools and rascals won't understand how Prabhupada allowed women and men to intermingle freely, because that was the culture. Prabhupada went on and on and on how in Krishna consciousness, as preachers, the women and the men get equal opportunity, and how closed-minded people won't realize that and criticize it. So Prabhupada made some adjustment there that was beyond the limits of the spiritual institution where he initially belonged, the Gaudiya Math, because he was compassionate. And his concern was how to give love of God to others. And he knew the ways people will socially close their minds. He knows how people socially close their minds if you don't accommodate their cultural considerations to some degree. So it's so important to be compassionate and be intelligent on how we can communicate Krishna consciousness appropriately. And one of the main duties of an acharya is to clear people's doubts. Because doubts are what close the mind to experience. That's why I mentioned this morning, Narada Muni, he heard the holy name, he took Mahaprasadam, and all his sins were free. Why? Because of his faith. He was open to that experience. Lal Babu heard the Bhagavatam once and immediately left the Vrindavan and surrendered to Krishna fully. Why? Because of his faith. Our whole experience in the material world is only to make us vulnerable or open to the experience of God. So here in the story of Bhishma Dev, there is a doubt. And not only to clear the doubt for Yudhisthira and to alleviate his pain, why there was so much suffering, but because the Bhagavatam is the instructions of the Bhagavatam are not just for the persons in the story that are hearing it, if for us. And to go further in spiritual life, we have to be able to understand God. And this question is challenging. And it was challenging Yudhisthira because he was such a good man. But look what destiny forced him into do. Defending his own family was the cause of a fratricidal war that killed hundreds of millions of people. So Bhishma Dev, even when he saw him, he said, Atata Klishtam Jivatum Jivatum Na not to be alive. You do not deserve to lie, to live. Under that klishtam, under that trouble, your trouble was so heavy that it was better that you die than live, because you did not. It was unfair for you to live, that your suffering, was so much. And then, as an empathetic person, he's going to give philosophy, but he has to deal with the suffering. Not just say, you're not the body, Prabhu, or transcend it. But he said, your suffering was incredible. It was so bad that dying would have been an easier existence for you. But now he explains a very, very amazing point. That if you change your perspective or objective on happiness, you can reconcile the suffering in the world, because you can see it in the service of the highest happiness. If you're suffering on the platform of the false objective of happiness, of controlling the world to satisfy our desires, if you're suffering on that platform, the impossible platform of seeking happiness, controlling the world when you're not depending on the world moving your way when you're not the controller, is a recipe for disaster. And a little bit that you do control it attaches you more to the bodily platform, so you feel the sufferings of the world more. And you're threatened with non-existence, you're fearful in that conception, you're fearful in so many ways. Fear, ooh, fear is the word suffering. And fear is only due to material desire. Fear is the apprehension that your desires will not be fulfilled. Well, if that's not your objective, then you're no longer fearful. Prabhupada was in Delhi during the blackout during the Indo-Pakistan War, and the reporter asked him what would happen if a bomb would come. He said, I would see Krishna. And so therefore, Bhishmadev's instruction is, if you see God in whatever happens as his will, to the extent that you will bow your head in gratitude to it, and you respond in the appropriate way according to the Shastra, and you get the guidance of the Vaishnava and Brahmins to do that, there's no cause for despondency. Despondency means a lack of hope, but there's great hope, because real hope is on the platform of the soul. And that's the platform of the soul is something we have an ability to attain at any moment by the act of surrender. So if the objective becomes to experience the soul, there's no fear because there's nothing that can be taken. There's nothing that can take it away from you, and there's no obstacle that can prevent you from getting it. So he says here, if you do these things, you will come closer to the soul. So your tribulations are improving your situation. Your situations are actually bringing you hope. So this is what he wanted to impress upon them, upon you this year. The material situation is no hope. Even if you get what you want, there's no hope. This can never last. It can never deeply satisfy your heart. There's no hope. There's no future on that platform. So if on the platform where there is no future, there is difficulties, maybe that is the impetus you need to seek the platform of happiness where there are no difficulties, where there's no material impediment. And the only separation of you from it is your consciousness. So this is so important to practice, to see God and to respond in service to God and to make sure it's applied properly by taking guidance. I joked yesterday in my class that the 65 is the new 50. 50 is sannyas. I think we're a little, 65, I'm old. Time to die when living, rather than express to die when living. To give up the conception that the world is for me and embrace the conception that the world is for God. And therefore, when the world doesn't move the way we want, it doesn't threaten our objectives, which is the service of God. Okay, we'll read one more verse. Samstate tirate pandau pittabala prayabhadu vishmatkritte kohumpleshan prapta tukavit tukaviti mahu. As far as my daughter-in-law Kunti is concerned, upon the great Pandu's death, she became widow with many children, and therefore she suffered greatly. And when you grown up, she suffered a great deal also because of your actions, purport. Sufferings of Kunti are doubly lamented. She suffered greatly because of early widowhood, and to get her minor children brought up in the royal family. And when the children were grown up, she continued to suffer because of her son's actions. So her suffering continued. This means she was destined to suffer by providence, and this one has to tolerate without being disturbed. I remember when I was going through one of my most difficult periods, and a particular day was very difficult. I was in Mayapur, and Naranjan Swami came and said to me something that obviously he realized, that if you tolerate, there will be a fruit at the end. And this is the message of Bhishma Dev. Although you are suffering, there will be a fruit in the end. And if you respond properly to your suffering, that fruit will come quickly. But if you try to enjoy the world, the only fruit is death. Because you remain on the temporary bodily platform. One more verse. Sarvam kala kritam manye bhavakam yat yadapriyam kapalayad vishaloke vayo eva kanavali. In my opinion, this is all due to an inevitable time under whose control everyone and every planet is carried, just as the clouds are carried by the wind. There is control by time all over the space within the universe, as there's control by time all over the planets. All the big, gigantic planets, including the sun, are being controlled by the force of air, as the clouds are carried by the force of air. Similarly, the inevitable kala, or time, controls every action of the air and other elements. Everything, therefore, is controlled by the supreme kala, a forceful representation of the Lord within the material world. So kala, or time, is Vishnu. It's Vishnu who has witnessed the activities you have done that are selfish and antithetical to the soul. It is time that witnessed that, and it's time which will move the world around you to give you experiences so that you can learn the lessons, learn, have a proper understanding of that, a proper lesson to get rid of that consciousness that's antithetical to the soul, which is selfishness. So Vishnu is manifested kala, or time. And he gives us particular conditions where we need to learn, where we need to learn the lessons that are just perfect for us to give us a component of realization that's moving us closer to God. I was speaking yesterday and I had this interesting point that, and I think I can share with you, and it's relevant here. The point that I had was that there's something that is eternal and it ends. And that's our suffering, our karma. Is something that eternal, it never ends, and that's ourself. So forever we've been suffering. At a particular time, God decides it's time to finish our suffering. And at that time, God sends us this Sadhu Sangha, the association of devotees. Who can nourish our faith and enlighten us and teach us the means to realize God, which is the experience, which is the practice that actually can end suffering. So it's so dynamic, this life that we had, meeting Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara. God decided to give us Sadhu Sangha. But why did God pick us? And somehow or other, he picked us because by our experiences in the world, there is now a receptivity in our consciousness to accept an authority for reality in our life, truth that is higher than our own false egoistical desires to control and enjoy. And it's not God's mercy that he feeds that by necessarily satisfying our desires and making us prosperous and making us more and more spoiled and closing our receptivity. So all the experiences we have and all this suffering we have and all this, Madhvacharya said, we shed enough tears in this life to fill an ocean. And all these things that we've had and experiences we've had are only to open up the mind and make it receptivity to the experience of faith so that we can desire to be who we are and live within the platform of the soul, ultimately, eternally. So Bhishmadeva is also alluding to that. What's moving around you is God. He has a purpose. And if you respond to that properly, under the guidance of the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins, you will understand that message. And when understanding that message, your energy, your urges will be used to serve the higher platform of truth that's coming from God rather than the lower platform of truth that is coming from the false ego. So he's explaining, Bhishmadeva, everything is happening by time. Thus, Yudhisthira should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time. Everyone has to bear the actions and reactions of time as long as one is within the conditions of the material world. Yudhisthira should not think that he had committed sins in his previous birth and is suffering the consequences. Even the most pious has to suffer the condition of material nature. But a pious man is faithful to the Lord, and he is guided by the bona fide Brahmins and Vaishnavas following the religious principles. These three guiding principles should be the aim of life. One should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time. Yeah, I mean, why have hope in a happiness dependent on us controlling something that's beyond our control and not for our benefit, which is to move the world simply for our desires. So, rather than investing our happiness in destiny, which is beyond our control, Bhishmadeva is saying, invest your happiness in your free will, which is within your control. And these guiding principles should be the aim of life, that things are moving by the will of God. They're absolute. Can't do anything about it. They're good. Why should we lament about them? And we should respond to them according to Dharma under the guidance of the Vaishnavas. And if you do that, then you'll find out that destiny is carrying a fruit of realization to awaken you deeper into the understanding and experience of the soul. Text 9:15. Yatta dharma sito raja yadapa nirvakodara Krishna stri gandivam chapam surit Krishna stito vivat. Oh, how wonderful is the influence in inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhisthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion? theme of the great fighter with the club, the great bowman Arjuna with his mighty Gandiva, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. So, this time, it can't be reversed materially because it's the will of God that's responding to our desire to be separate from Him. By putting us in the illusion that we are separate from Him. And putting us in the illusion that we can control and enjoy. As far as the material or spiritual resources, as far as the material or spiritual resources were required, there were no scarcity in the case of the Pandavas. Materially, they were well equipped because two great warriors, namely Bhima and Arjuna, were there. Spiritually, the king himself was a symbol of religion, and above all them, personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, was personally concerned with their affairs as the well-wisher. And yet there were so many reverses on the side of the Pandavas. Despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons under the direction of the supervision of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses which only can be explained due to the influence of Kala, inevitable time. Kala is identical with the Lord himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord. There is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. So Bhishma Dev is giving his instructions. There's no limitation when something's beyond our control. Of course, it's so obviously God's will. And that will is carrying us some fruit of realization. One more verse. Vyasya karchit rajan bhuman veda vipitsitam yad vijigataya yukta muyanti kaviyopi. Okay, no one can know the plan of Lord Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire extensively, they are bewildered. Because Krishna's plan is to purify us, and we're endlessly complicated. And a lot of realizations we can't even have until we get preliminary realizations. So the plan of the Lord is to enlighten us, but to understand exactly how, it's inconceivable. And we should feel it. Prabhupada said no one can come to Krishna consciousness without a previous connection to it. But even if one has no connection to it, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Okay, are there any questions? Or basically, if you could say hello. I know I'm always rushing off to the next class these days. Would anyone like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Bob Gail. Where are you now?
I'm still home, unfortunately.
Oh. Okay. You'll come today, or you won't be able to? What?
Yeah, I am coming. Yeah.
You never miss. You never miss. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
I really like this class. Thank you. Happy Easter.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. We all miss you here already. We're in great separation. We all enjoyed your company so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just
it was wonderful.
Have to figure out what to do about the classes, another strategy, because both times are the times of the day where I'm tired. So I get up at 12:30 or 1, so right about now. And then I usually take a nap, and then I go to the evening. So what I was doing is I was giving class, walking on a, and usually I'm not tired. I think it's called a Veda pad. It's those things that have spikes and give you reflexology. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, do well. Okay, even that, I'm going to, I have another class to give, and I have to get prepared for it. Thank you all. Vanchakopa, Chivya, Shakabhis, and Divinity.